Hey, welcome back. 7:06 on hour number two of this Champagne Friday edition of West Texas Today, Lubbock's News Talk Sports Station. High today, 77. It's going to be windy, as you will probably already know that. And it's going to be really nice tomorrow again as far as the temperature goes, in the lower 80s, it looks like. And then come Sunday, it's going to get colder again. So enjoy today, enjoy tomorrow. And then after that, get ready for the cold. So it is that time of year when things fluctuate quite a bit. Well, we've been told that Mr. Epler is unavoidably detained on the other side of the building, where he's kind of doing double duty over there. So
is he having hair issues?
No, I don't think it's a hair disaster. I think it's a scheduling disaster where he's having to tap dance twice as fast to keep up with the responsibilities down there. So he will not be with us, but I will tell you that there are some movies opening today, and I'm not going to give you the insight that obviously that he would give, but a movie called Nonstop, starring Liam Neeson, and it's rated PG-13. It it has to do with a transatlantic flight and a lot of passengers at risk on a plane flight. You know, it sounds like a formula that we've seen before. And then Stalingrad is coming out. It's a 3D movie. A band of Russian soldiers fight to hold a strategic building in their devastated city against a ruthless German army, and in the process become deeply connected to two Russian women who have been living there. So that's rated R for war violence is what it says. And then one I mentioned, Son of God. The life story of Jesus is told from his humble birth, through his teachings, crucifixion, and ultimate resurrection. And as I mentioned earlier, I saw the previews of this a few weeks ago, and it does look like it's a pretty powerful movie. And I hope it's as good as advertised, because it sure looked good in the previews. So those are some of the ones that are opening up today for your entertainment. And then performance side, out at the Ragtown Gospel Theater there in Post, they're doing Gethsemane. And then at the Lubbock Community Theater over on 42nd in Boston, they're doing Godspell. And at the Cats Playhouse on 34th Street, just east of University Avenue, is Pageant Play. So those are the three of those going on. And as I mentioned, at the Civic Center Theater tonight and this weekend will be performances of the touring production of Hair. Did you ever see the production of Hair, either in New York or anywhere else?
Saw the movie, but no, not a production of it.
I never saw the movie either. I know nothing about it, except I know the music is really good. So anyway, so we're looking forward
Pinball Wizard.
We're looking forward to seeing that tonight. Yeah. So
we mostly pick up movies at the video store after they go to DVD. And yesterday we saw that movie that I didn't have a lot of interest in seeing, but it turned out to be pretty good. And it was the Niki Lauda and James Hunt. So the story of these
race car drivers,
these Grand Prix drivers,
those are Formula One drivers, right?
Formula One drivers. Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting, very, very interesting story. So I would advise anyone to rent that. It's out on DVD.
So you liked it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
Good movie.
Good. 770-5950 to be in on the conversation. One of our listeners sent a text message earlier. We were talking about the oil business in the South Plains and Permian Basin and what have you. And this listener says, to stress significance of fracking and horizontal drilling in the past 3 years, I heard an expert say up until these shale plays now, through the history of Texas, all we've drilled for and harvested has been the oil that managed to seep out of the rocks where most of it is actually trapped.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think we're seeing that.
Okay. So there you go. Again, when you start getting into all that technical conversation and all that stuff and the science of it, you leave me behind pretty quickly. AP story out of Austin tells us that the state of Texas filed official notice yesterday that it plans to appeal a federal judge's decision to lift the state's ban on gay marriage. The one-paragraph notice contained no argument, but formally signals that Attorney General Greg Abbott intends to challenge the ruling by San Antonio-based Judge Orlando Garcia. On Wednesday, Judge Garcia issued a preliminary injunction against the ban, only to suspend his own ruling to allow the state time to appeal. Two gay couples have challenged Texas's constitutional amendment and a longstanding law prohibiting same-sex marriage. Judge Garcia said that states do not have the power to deny people the fundamental right to marry and enjoy its benefits. And that ruling added to a tangled web of decisions, state laws, and legal opinions across the country that is expected to eventually end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. There are civil rights lawsuits in 24 states asking courts to overturn state gay marriage bans. And gay rights groups have won recent victories in other conservative states, including Utah and Oklahoma. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said this week that state attorneys general were not obligated to defend local laws if they believed the laws violated the U.S. Constitution. Democratic attorneys general in at least six states have declined to defend same-sex marriage bans that have been challenged by gay couples. So that's a whole other conversation itself as to whether the state attorney general, the different attorney generals throughout some of the states that have these bans, are obligated to appeal it, appeal the overturns. So interesting how that's all playing out.
It's, it also indicates that maybe our attorney generals will not not protect the gay rights, gay marriage. They just won't enforce the law if people are refused
Gay marriage.
The gay marriage law.
The gay marriage bans. They just won't enforce the ban on gay marriage.
Yeah.
And they'll allow courthouses to issue license, marriage license?
The other way around. Maybe they just will just not pay any attention to the ban, because it seems like that's what Attorney General Eric Holder has come down with. If you don't like the law, we just don't enforce it.
Well, what he's saying is that if you as an attorney general in the state of in some state, if you feel like that this gay marriage ban is unconstitutional, if you yourself feel like it's unconstitutional,
but it goes both
you're not
ways.
Obligated to go defend it.
But it goes both ways.
Okay.
So, and what could they
say
about it?
What you're saying is that they don't have to
apply.
They can go ahead and go ahead. No, what you're saying is they can ignore the ruling that says it's unconstitutional.
Right. Why not?
Okay.
That's the way America works now, according to our attorney general. Mm.
Kind of like Obamacare. It's the law of the land, but everybody doesn't want to go with it. You just ignore it, right? I mean, it is a law of the land. So
why not?
Okay. So
Attorney General Eric Holder said if you don't like the law, just don't enforce it.
It does cut both ways. There we go.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. 770-5950 if you want to weigh in on anything that we get into this morning. We're going to go to break here in a little bit, and we'll do birthdays after that. A story out of Austin, lieutenant governors plan to spend $60 million to quickly ramp up security along the Mexican border, but it won't likely happen until September, raising accusations by primary opponents of David Dewhurst that his urgent call for a border enforcement surge was politically motivated, you think? Republican Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst is facing the toughest reelection campaign of his 11 years in office heading into next Tuesday's primary voting day, vowed in December to seek a swift funding boost for enhanced patrols along the Texas and Mexico border. At the time, he said the payout would happen as soon as possible. He stood alongside Steve McCraw, the head of the Texas Department of Public Safety, who said his agency was ready to implement a, quote, permanent surge of troopers, boats, and aircraft. David Dewhurst said, quote, we can come up with the money in the state's $190 billion budget, meaning cutting funds elsewhere to pay for the plan. So you think it's a little political posturing going on about the immigration and sealing the border up while Mr. Dewhurst has a tough primary?
You think?
I think that, I think that has all the trappings of not being a coincidence, just random coincidence. Yeah, I think so. 716, how we doing, Tommy? We're getting close to, about 30 seconds away. So we're gonna take a break and remind you once again that the The Lady Raiders are hosting the Evil Empire here tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock at the United Spirit Arena, so go out and get you a ticket. The men are on the road in Waco taking on Baylor at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon. But the women will be here at home, the friendly confines of the United Spirit Arena, taking on the Evil Empire at 2 o'clock opening tip. Get your ticket. Go out and support your Lady Raider basketball team. We're getting close to the last couple of games of the regular season. The Big 12 tournament will be starting here in another week or so. So good luck to both our men and women's teams. It's 7:17. Take a quick break. Be right back, and we'll do birthdays for today and for the weekend. Stay with us.
AM 950, 100.7 FM, Lubbock's News, Talk, Sports, 100.7 FM.
Hey, welcome back. 7:22. It's Friday. TGIF. Champagne Friday. And it's also the last day of February, the 28th day of February. Good to have you with us on this middle of hour number two. High today, 77. It's going to be windy. It's going to be but a nice day otherwise. And tomorrow will be in the low 80s, it looks like. And then on Sunday, Matt Ernst tells us it'll cool off quite a bit. So kind of enjoy today and tomorrow, even though there'll be a breeze going with it. All right, today is the 28th day of February, and a lot of people, Dave, it's special.
Well, it's a big deal, February 28th, for Renee Reyes, who is the wife of Sam Reyes, in our Sunday school class, and a couple of great folks. I've known Sam and Renee for many, many years, and what a great couple. Also, one of
He married way up.
He did.
He married way up.
Also, one of our Lubbock broadcasters. I'm sure someday Greg will be in the Lubbock Broadcasters Hall of Fame, if we had such a thing. Greg McAllister, of course, his father, Bill McAllister, and grandfather, R.B. McAllister, founded Channel 28, opened that station in November of 1968, I do believe.
Okay.
So happy birthday, Greg McAllister, which is, his birthday is Sunday, I believe, and Renee's birthday is today.
Right. Also, happy birthday today to her name is Fonda Moneymaker. She ought to be a banker or something like that, or a stockbroker, don't you think? Moneymaker, that's a great name. Happy birthday to Fonda. Happy birthday to local attorney Jamie Phillips. Jamie and her husband Ron are great folks here in Lubbock. And Jamie is one of the children, the daughter of Pete and Nell Delaney out of Hale Center, Texas. Happy birthday tomorrow to Elisa Ross. She works out at the MassCom College of Media and Communications out of Texas Tech. Her birthday is tomorrow. Jim Bertram. Former employee of City Lubbock. He's retired now with the City Planning Department. Great guy. Rex Oliver works for Academic Recruiting out of Texas Tech. Sherry Moore has a birthday tomorrow, along with Bill Adling, a local architect. Another great guy. And then on Sunday, somebody's been on our show. Happy birthday to Robert Brashear. Robert is the athletic director for All Saints School here in Lubbock, Texas. If it's your birthday today or this weekend, go out and make it a great day. Make everybody be good to you. After all, it is your very, very, very special day. All right, it's 7:24 now on this Friday. And mentioned earlier that the Dow Jones Industrial yesterday finished up about 74.24, sitting at 16,272 going into trading in a little over an hour from right now. So keep that under your hat there as to what's going to be going on there.
Let's do this story about the scientific world. This is kind of interesting.
Now listen
up. If you've ever had the occasion to read an academic paper in almost any field in which you don't hold a PhD, chances are it seems like so much gobbledygook. And there's some chance that it literally is. A 2005 prank by three MIT graduate students has given way to a new genre, computer-generated fake academic papers. As The Guardian reports, back then the student wrote a program called SciGen in just days that would take high-minded terms from academic writing, paste them together, and create papers that had literally no research or meaning behind them. The program used context-free grammar. You following me so far, folks? It added graphics, figures, and citations. The students didn't stop there. They submitted two papers under their names to a scientific conference. One was accepted. Now, here's the gibberish-filled abstract. Many physicists would agree that, had it not been for congestion control, the evaluation of web browsers might never have occurred. In fact, few hackers worldwide would disagree with the essential unification of voice over IP and public-private key pair. In order to solve this riddle, we confirm that SMPs can be made stoic, cacheable, and interposable.
Say what? That's kind of the way I saw it.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, that's the way I read
it. Now, why did they do it? Well, the trio was tired of all the emails they'd received from conference organizers looking for papers. They thought that the standard for the conferences, which charge hefty fees for attendance, might not be rigorous. It might have ended there, with the one-time submission of their nonsensical papers, except they made the program freely available, and it has become quite popular. According to a newly published research in the journal Nature, more than 120 papers in a subscription database were computer-generated fakes. The Institute
of... What percentage?
More than 120 papers in a subscription are generated, computer-generated fakes. The Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineering, that's the IEEE, a major professional organization in electronic engineering and computer science, had published more than 100 of them. Computer scientist Cyril LeBay of Joseph Fournier University in Grenoble, France, developed software to detect.
Is that made up? That
sounds like it. Detect the fake-generated PsyGen. Some evidence suggests that not all the authors listed on the paper were involved. According to LeBay, researchers are pressured to keep churning out papers and publish as much as possible. The old publish or perish saying in academia. Maybe this was a stealth campaign to discredit the practice, or perhaps some people thought it could add to their credentials without requiring more hours of work. I think that's hilarious. When you have a computer that just degenerates gobbledygook, but uses, you know, very impressive sounding words and terms, and you send it to a magazine for publication, it tells me that they didn't read it, or if they read it, just was ashamed to say, I don't understand
it. Yeah, they were embarrassed to say, what does this mean?
Said, wow, this is impressive.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand a bit of it.
You know what, though? But the thing is, you have to give them credit. It is authentic gobbledygook.
Yeah, how so?
It's real gobbledygook. I mean, it's authentic.
Well, that's true.
It's true gobbledygook.
A couple, what did it say, three MIT students. That sounds exactly like something that three MIT grad students would do.
Did they have a little too much time on their hands? What would really be great if they got called to this conference to read their paper.
I'm sure they wouldn't
in front of the assembled scientists or researchers or whatever.
I'm sure they wouldn't attend.
You know, I think, for a free trip to wherever it happens to be and just get up there and carry your spoof as, you know, just do it straight. Just get up there and do it straight.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
And dare somebody to challenge you.
If I were their professor, the three MIT grad students, I would certainly give them an A.
For?
For being able to produce
creativity,
ingenuity? Computer program that could put together coherent sentences.
Yeah. Hey, John, how'd you do on gobbledygook? Oh, I got an A. I got an A on gobbledygook. I'm a great gobbledygooker. local news coming up. It's 7:30. Stay right where you are.
AM 950. Give us a call and get involved. 770-5950. Back to West Texas Today on AM 950, 100.7 FM.
Hey, welcome back. It's 7:34 on Friday, the last day of the month, last day of the week, or at least a work week anyway. Jim Douglas along with Dave King. Choice Woodman now taking calls. 770-5950 to be in on the conversation. And we love it when you do that. And it's going to be a high of 77 today and windy and a nice day tomorrow.
And let me just say that March is official, even though it's not official till tomorrow. because we have blowing dust.
It's getting morning. Oh, really? Do yeah. we really? Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah. Go out, stick your head out the back door and make you feel right at home.
Get a microdermabrasion treatment there, free of Mother Nature there.
I thought, I looked out there and I saw that stuff in the air and I thought, well, it's unusual to have fog when you have the wind blowing this hard. And then I realized, that's not fog. That's blowing dirt.
If you're going to Tahoka, Texas, you going to Tahoka today?
I might.
Well, don't drink the water. Don't drink the water. Tahoka's under a boil water notice until further notice. A water line break in the town's Country Club Road led staff to turn off water water citywide while they repair it. Samples of the water must undergo lab tests. The notice will be lifted after the samples indicate the water is then safe to drink. So, if you're passing through Tahoka and you see a water fountain, you might want to just hold off on that until you know for sure. Unless you got a little Jim Dandy boiling water kit with you in your car, and you could... mix it up. Anyways, you know, you hear more and more of these little situations happening around the area.
Yeah.
I mean, is that just coincidence? Is that just routine way things are?
It's just, we're just a bunch of pansies. That's all.
Oh, so man up and drink it?
Man up and drink the water. I grew up on a farm drinking sulfur water that was pumped out of the artesian wells into the reservoirs where all the frogs and who knows what
That explains so much.
It didn't hurt me.
Now we understand. Now we get it. Okay. Now it makes sense. Okay. 770-5950 to be in. Okay, tell me this, Mr. Republican. AP story out of Washington, D.C. A divided Senate yesterday derailed Democratic legislation that would have provided $21 billion for medical, education, and job training benefits for the nation's veterans. The bill fell victim to election year disputes over spending and fresh penalties against Iran. Each party covets the allegiance of the country's 22 million veterans and their families, and each party blamed the other for turning the effort into a chess match aimed at forcing politically embarrassing votes. Republicans used a procedural move to block the bill after the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders, independent member out of Vermont, chided the GOP lawmakers about their priorities. All right. So my question is, I mean, okay, that's fine. It is what it is on this story. But when Republicans are trying so hard to embrace voters from women, minorities, the students, blacks, Hispanics, it just seems like, and now they're in an election year, now they're going out of their way to hack off veterans. I mean, what are they thinking?
Well, okay, number one, I think there's a whole lot more to that story. There's a lot more details to it than you read that are written in that story, because the Republicans are not going to do anything against veterans. I mean, the Republicans there is more of a reason there than what that story said, and we don't know what that is.
Okay, so in an election year, when the Democrats are going to be howling about this, they're going to say, "Oh, wait, guys, y'all look at the whole thing, read the whole legislation, because there's more to it." You think people are going to say, "Yeah, right"?
No, unfortunately,
nice try.
Unfortunately, they
won't.
Unfortunately, they won't, Jim. But that just goes, how many billion dollars? 21 billion. So, hey, it's just 21 billion that we're going to have to borrow from China.
In an election year.
Let's just go do it anyway.
In an election
year. That is so Democrat. That is so liberal of you.
Okay, well, and it is so.
Just do it anyway.
It is so.
It's just $21 billion.
Self implosion.
And like I say, there's more to that story than what that story you read.
Well, there may well be. But why would they go out of their way to be on record as blocking the money for these benefits?
I don't know. Maybe if we knew all the story, we might understand why they wanted to.
Then y'all go to visit each one of those 22 million veterans and explain to them one at a time and let them read them the whole
this is
content
so
and say, okay,
frustrating.
Here's why we did it.
This is so frustrating because your point is Just go ahead and spend the money that we don't have anyway, because you can't really explain why you didn't.
It could very well.
That's exactly what you're saying.
It could very well be
you
that they were justified in doing this.
Yeah, but you have to go ahead and spend money anyway. What the heck, $21 billion?
When do politicians in an election year do things out of principle because it's the right thing to do?
You know, I don't.
When the election is around the corner,
I don't know the answer to it because we don't know everything about the story.
Running out of feet to shoot on themselves. So anyway, 770-5950 if you want to take a stand on this or
let's
anything
go
else.
To the tiger story.
Tigers. Okay.
Yeah, it's 740 on West Texas
paper
today.
Tiger.
There's an old joke says where does a tiger go for a walk? And the punchline is anywhere it wants.
Yeah, true.
But police in suburban Lockport, Illinois, 30 miles south of Chicago, are not laughing after a tiger cub took a stroll through the city's downtown on Sunday, albeit on the end of a leash. It's a tiger cub. It's a baby kitten on a leash. Come on, folks. The tiger and its owner, John Basile, were earlier spotted inside Uncle Richie's Bar, reports the came out of Chicago, the news media there. Basile's tiger apparently bit a woman in the bar in December, although she never reported it, Blakely says. Boo-hoo. It wasn't a very bad bite if she didn't report it. Now John Basile faces misdemeanor charges of reckless conduct and possession of a dangerous animal. My concern was really for the people who frequent the downtown area, Lockport, Police Chief Terry Lemming said. Basile runs the Big Run Wolf Ranch just outside Lockport, which CBS Chicago describes as a collection of cages where he keeps wolves, mountain lions, and tigers. His ranch is a federally licensed business that invites the public for scheduled open houses and takes the animal for show to school and charities. Basile's attorney said he had been cooperative with the authorities and looks forward to his opportunity to address the allegations in court. He has been rescuing, housing, and teaching with wild animals for nearly 30 years without incident, they say. I'd say give the guy a break. It was just a little tiger kitten on a leash. Big deal. It's not going to hurt anybody. In fact, I'm sure that there was hundreds of people who enjoyed seeing the little tiger. Probably probably petted the little tiger.
That's right. Then counted their fingers afterwards to see if any of them were left.
He's just a kitten. Look at him. He's not any bigger than a house cat. He's a baby tiger.
Well, not right now.
Very playful.
7:42. Choice, how are we doing on time? We getting close? Okay, we got about 30 seconds before we go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about one of our Texas Tech alumni who we're not all that proud of, and we'll talk about that in just a second. We'll talk about that in just a second. Stay with us. Much more to come here on West Texas Today, Lubbock's News, Talk, and Sports Station.
This is West Texas Today on AM 950, 100.7 FM. Lubbock's News, Talk, Sports.
7:48. It is Friday. It's the last day of February, the 28th. Good to have you with us, Jim Douglas, Dave King, and Choice Woodman now taking calls, 770-5950. Phone's been pretty quiet this morning. We haven't riled anybody up today. I guess we're starting the weekend early, Brother Dave. Well, we talked earlier about Seth Dagey and going into the Canadian Football League and signing up with a team up there, Saskatchewan, I think it was. Another former Tech student also made the news today. AP story out of Washington, D.C., John Hinckley.
What has John done now?
He shot and wounded President Reagan in 1981. Soon will be spending more than half of his time outside a Washington mental hospital. In an order Wednesday that Hinckley's lawyer called a milestone, a judge laid out the guidelines for the monthly visits of 17 days that Hinckley would be allowed to make to his mother's home in Virginia. Hinckley, a former Tech student who was found to be insane when he shot Reagan, has since 2006 been allowed to leave a St. Elizabeth's hospital in Washington to visit his mother's home in Williamsburg, Virginia. The length of those visits has expanded over the years with the goal that Hinckley will ultimately live there full time. So he's going to get a little bit longer leash every time he goes to visit his mother's
okay,
home.
Okay, so here's the thing. He got off for shooting President Reagan.
Ruled insane.
So now he's well. So why not execute him? I mean, he's well now.
Because he wasn't well when he committed the act.
Well, that was then. This is now. Now he's well.
Okay, so we're justified in not killing him at the time he was insane.
You wouldn't want to execute
him.
But
now you're healthier. Your mental health is better.
Now you know what
okay,
you did.
Now we'll give it to.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. No, I'm not for capital punishment, but this is so the argument goes. You know, it is kind of an interesting court. Yeah. Someone gets off for murder because they were insane and didn't know what they were doing. You put them in a mental hospital, you give them drugs, and now they're sane. Now they know what they're doing. Well, so they don't have to pay for the crime?
Well, but at the time they committed the crime is what you're concerned about. I know you're being mostly facetious, but anyway, sometimes I'm never always sure. Randy, good morning, Randy. Thanks for making sure our phones work this morning.
Yeah, 2 days in a row, but it is
that's
kind
all
of
right.
A great little addition to what you're talking about. Jim, I had the pleasure of meeting and hearing a gentleman that truly has the has his hands on the pulse of the presidency. And he's a West Texas kid. Ronald L. Jackson, physician to the president, spoke at our church last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I wish I'd have known earlier about him. It would have been a great chance to for y'all guys to interview him. But he's a Webland kid, and he is in charge of the entire medical staff at the White House.
Is he a military medical doctor?
He's a naval captain.
Okay,
he's
Navy. All right. Wow.
Navy captain, but it was very, very fascinating to see the ins and outs of the medical staff. And he actually, that's where his office is in the White House.
Wow.
He goes there every day.
All right. Did he tell you how much of a smoker the president is? How bad's his smoking habit?
No, we didn't get into that sort of thing, and he wasn't going to get in those kind of weeds anyway. But I thought it was very fascinating that we don't think about how the medical support of every president, and he was there for 2 years for President Bush, and then he's now the official physician of Barack Obama and the family.
Yeah.
And it also extends to all the executive staff plus White House staff. So I just wanted to give you're talking about Hinckley and not a real good representative of Texas Tech, but this young man grew up in Leveland, Texas. As a matter of fact, his father is a mayor of Leveland right now.
Is that right? But did he go to Tech, or did he go to the Naval Academy, or what? Do you know?
He went to A&M, and then he went to University of Texas Med School.
It's a shame that he couldn't get into Tech and had to go to A&M or Texas. But it's good to have other options. Believe me, those are also pretty good schools. So
Jim, what I found fascinating is the extent in the operations that they have to go through to when they go to third world countries. The president.
Oh wow! I bet that's right.
It was about a 60 page PowerPoint with wonderful slides of Bush and Obama's, and he said that's one of the things they do. They never get into the politics of either whoever the president is.
Has he been the doctor to the president?
He's been at the White House medical staff for a little while longer, but officially the doctor to the president for 8 years.
Okay, so he was not there. Was he? He wasn't there under George W. when George W. was president.
Yeah,
last 2 years.
Yeah, the last.
Okay,
2 years.
When did W. have that incident with the pretzel that he choked on in the White House quarters?
I wonder
if he was on duty then, because remember that was kind of a scare, at the time.
Yeah, he also crashed his bicycle too, as I recall.
That's what Ronnie said, that there was a lot of scrapes and bruises on President Bush because of his cycling. But Obama is definitely a basketball player.
He plays a lot of basketball
and a golfer too.
Primary forms of recreation, but the things that he has got to see as the president's physician, because when they do go on trips, Most of the time, he is either across the hall or next door to the president, wherever he's staying.
Yeah.
And he got to go to a Nelson Mandela's funeral with Obama and President Bush.
Wow, pretty good. Yeah, I would love to have it on the show. If he ever comes back, let us know.
Yeah, but hats off. A good West Texas kid. Kind of done pretty good.
Great. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate that info. TSN and Fox News reports coming up. Then back for much more here on West Texas Today.